There's a lot of debate at the moment about, are we at the beginning of the end of the COVID-19 pandemic? It's all happening at the moment, of course. But there is, hopefully, some light at the end of the tunnel. Certainly, some experts are predicting that. But to dig a little bit deeper than purely talking about the medical science, was very keen to have a chat to my next guest. He's on the line from Perth. His name is Ulrich Ecker. Now, Ulrich is a professor of cognitive psychology at the University of Western Australia. He's also a future fellow at the Australian Research Council. Now, Ulrich was involved in, really a global study focusing on participants in the US and the UK. Just really having a look about what type of life did people want to return to once the pandemic is over, and whether that was a return to the old kind of normal or perhaps a more progressive future. Ulrich, welcome to the King Review, first of all.
Thanks for having me, Gavin.
Now, give listeners a bit of a rundown, first of all, about what this research involved, what it was all about.
Yeah, so we were interested in people's views about the future, what they wanted for sort of the post-pandemic life when this is all over, as you said. So what we did is we designed four scenarios along two dimensions. One was whether people wanted to get back to normal. That was the buzzword early on in the pandemic. Everyone obviously wanted to get back to normal. Or whether they wanted something a little different, whether they wanted sort of a more progressive future where there's maybe more equity, but a fairer future than what we've had previously. Mm. The second dimension was where they wanted power to rest, whether they wanted a strong government, whether they wanted government to retain the powers that they sort of took on during the pandemic, or whether they wanted governments to give back those powers and strive towards more individual autonomy or more power that we're resting with the community.
So it's really looking, I guess, is does the pandemic present an opportunity for improvement? And there's sort of a buzzword that's been around for a little while now, particularly I think in the US, about build back better. What were some of the, I guess, the overwhelming findings in terms of where did people want to the future to hold? Did they want it to go back to the way things were, or did they have almost a more optimistic view that perhaps we can improve some things or learn some lessons from the pandemic?
Yeah, so we asked them three questions, basically. One is what they wanted for the future. One is what they think they were going to get. And the last question was what they thought others wanted for the future. So with the first question, what did people want for the future? We were surprised, actually, that a pretty large majority wanted something more progressive. I personally actually expected a lot of people to say, we just want to get back to normal, because yes. That was sort of, there was a lot of talk about that, and it's understandable, right? Everyone was scared. And so basically the first experiment was run in 2020, and the second one was run in 2021. Especially in the first one, people had a strong preference for a progressive future. Mm. They didn't want to go back to normal.
Okay.
But interestingly, when we asked them what they expected to get, they said, well, we're probably going to get what we don't want, namely a return to normal. Mm. When we asked them what did they think other people wanted, they said, well, other people probably also want to get back to normal. So they underestimated how much people wanted to see a progressive future, overestimated how much other people actually wanted it back to normal.
Yeah, okay, even though they themselves, yeah, wanted a more progressive future. And just what do you mean by a progressive future rather than a return to normal?
So basically in our scenarios, we tried to keep them pretty neutral. So we had some positive aspects, some negative aspects, and all of them we didn't want to make one more attractive than the others. Mm. But in terms of the progressive future, what we were talking about was making sure that there was more economic fairness, I guess. And there was a lot of talk about, you know, are nurses, for example, being paid enough money? Mm. We now know what kind of essential work they do. Are they actually being treated fairly? Mm. And other aspects were around environmental questions. So, you know, if we should put more action into combating climate change and the like. So those were sort of the two main things, economic equity, fairness, and climate action that we incorporated in those progressive futures.
And you mentioned there that people wanted, I guess, more of a focus on communities, individual autonomy, rather than, you know, governments obviously have exerted a whole range of measures and control, if you like. I've always been interested to read what is the mood in, you know, in the community for how much power governments wield. Are people, you know, happy, I guess, to some extent, what governments have done to protect us? But has there been any overreach? And certainly some on the political fringe are, I guess, latching on to the whole, you know, government overreach. Tell us about some of those findings there in terms of, you know, what do people want their governments to be or to do into the future?
Yeah, so people had a more slight preference, but they did have a preference for individual autonomy. They didn't want governments to retain those extra powers that they took on during the pandemic. Again, this was a smaller effect compared to people's want of a progressive future, but they still wanted or preferred individual autonomy over the strong government by and large. And that was even stronger the further we got into the pandemic, understandably. People probably got a little bit tired of restrictions. But if we look at people's actual responses, I think their preference for individual autonomy was driven by two things. So first of all, keep in mind that we asked them about post-pandemic future. We didn't ask them about now. We asked them about, you know, when this is all settled down. So the two things that I think drove that preference for individual autonomy were that people were concerned about power abuse, that they were worried that politicians might refuse to give up those powers that they've taken on. And the second thing is that it was a lot of responses about coming together when bad things happen and working together as a community. I think there's a real desire for people to have a stronger sense of community and to work together when they're facing problems. So it was not a whole lot of indication that people sort of disagreed with restrictions or anything like that. It was more this, we don't want politicians to hold on to these powers forever and control our lives. And it was this sense of, we really want to have a better feeling of a better sense of community.
The other interesting finding you mentioned there is that people's views, not only about what they think other people wanted, but what they thought they would actually end up with. Just to delve a little bit more into that, I guess, is there almost a pessimistic feeling among the respondents of the research that they just thought, look, no matter what we want, no matter what perhaps good things we've learnt from the pandemic, they don't seem to think that any of that change, that positive change, will happen.
Yeah, so we call that sort of anticipated disappointment. They already think they're going to be disappointed and won't get what they hoped for. So that's certainly true. And I think there's also a sense that it's a reasonable response, actually, because what happens, as I said, people want a progressive future, but they expect to get back to normal. They expect and they think that other people want to return to normal. So they're misunderstanding what other people want. So basically we have a majority here who think they are in the minority, and they think, you know, everyone else wants something different from me. It's like, and the danger with that is that you often adjust your attitudes to what you perceive the norm to be. So to give you an example, let's say you think, I don't know, speed limits on the road are adequate and they should stay as they are, right? But you think that everyone else thinks they should be increased. Over time, what that might do is you will shift your attitude and you might become more open to the idea that, yeah, actually, maybe speed limits should be increased, just because you perceive everyone else to see the world that way. And the danger with that, obviously, is that everyone can be, you know, going down one path, even though the majority actually don't want to go down that path. They want to go down a different path, but they misperceive, you know, the intentions of others or the wants of others.
Some of the findings as well in terms of that progressive future, or the preference for a progressive future, you mentioned their action on climate change, economic equality, traditionally values, missions of the left. What about the political breakdown among respondents? How did that sort of play out in terms of the different political persuasions of respondents and the way that they perceive or want the future to be?
Yeah, so we this was done with representative samples. Now, they're not 100% representative because we're relying on online participants. They always tend to be more left-leaning. But you can statistically adjust for that because we also ask people questions about their political orientation. So we can sort of make sure that the views of those on the left are sort of actually weighted a little bit less and the views of those on the right are weighted a little bit more. So we even it out and end up with something that we think is fairly representative. So when we look at the political orientation, what we find is that, of course, left-leaning people want a progressive future, but moderate people also want a progressive future. Obviously not quite as strong, but they still lean towards a progressive future. And then people on the right, they're sort of neither here nor there. And it's only when you get to the to the extreme right wing. So we're talking, if you put it on a 0 to 10 scale, we're talking about people who are 9 or 10 in the very right wing. Only those people expressed a preference for returning back to normal, and only if it was paired with individual autonomy, not when it was paired with a strong government. Mm. Even then, they didn't want a return back to normal. So, yes, we find the expected differences that people on the left are very strongly or very strongly prefer a progressive future. People on the right, less so. But by and large, you know, even people in the middle, they prefer a more progressive future. And you have to go to the real sort of very conservative edge of things to find people who have a strong desire to go back to normal. And it was also sort of age effects, right? The older people were, the more they wanted things to go back to normal and so on, as you would expect.
As you would expect, that's right. A question I always like to ask professors like yourself or authors of research is, you know, what do you hope that this work, this paper, this research achieves? I mean, what would you like to see evolve from the work and from the findings that you and your colleagues there, some of them I know, University of Bristol, for example, I think was one of your co-report authors. What do you hope to achieve? What do you hope comes out of the findings of this report?
Well, I think we hope to achieve to have conversations just like this, right? So people talk about it and become aware that, hey, actually, just because there's a group of people who are very loud doesn't necessarily mean that they reflect the community view or the consensus, right? Mm. So I think it's important to highlight these public opinion polls when they're, you know, done properly and obviously, you know, they're representative and so on, to get a better feeling for what the community wants as a whole, so we can orient policy at least to some extent towards what people want, right? To make democratic decisions so we recognize all views. Because if you misrepresent these views, or if you have an incorrect perception of what people want, then you make decisions that are actually not supported by the majority. So yeah, it's sort of a conversation starter, so people talk about it and say, oh, this is interesting, right? I didn't know that other people thought like me. Maybe we should make this more of an open discussion and see that everyone understands where everyone's sitting.
And federal politicians take note as well. If you're formulating campaign promises and policies, you know, you need to reflect what research and what studies and polls like this are finding. Very, very interesting indeed. Professor Ulrich Ecker from the University of Western Australia, great pleasure to have you on. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.